Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk a little Chiefs football, though, with our guy, our Chiefs contributor, Joshua Briscoe from Chiefs on SI. He's the editor over there, does a great job covering the Chiefs. It's a bye week, Josh, but 5-0, man, considering the injuries, considering that we all know they're not playing their best football, even if I think they put together their best performance of the season, got to be feeling pretty good.
Yeah, happy official start to football season, fellas. Yeah. I thought maybe the Royals could just get us to training camp and we'd be able to take it from there. They got us through the bye week, so I mean,
that's pretty good.
I'm certainly willing to be great, to be gracious for what we've seen there. But yeah, this bye week has actually been interesting, and I think it's been at an interesting time for the Chiefs because they are in a spot where they have some retooling to do, where Andy Reid should be in there writing on the napkins or the whiteboard or trying to figure out what the little tweaks and iterations may be, because to your point, it hasn't been their best football, but they double up the Saints in prime time. They get a little extra time to tinker after that. I'm feeling pretty good about roughly 90% of this team, and that's just sort of the group that doesn't include the battered wide receivers, because something needs to happen there. I was bullish on Juju Smith-Schuster. I think I told you guys last week that it felt like, all right, there's going to be a role growing for him that I'm excited to see, but I don't think you should count on him putting up 7 for 130 every week. I don't think that's a three-peat strategy.
You don't think that you can just go about that? That's interesting. What about the strategy that is clearly no other team in the NFL has been studying like 1956 Yale game tape with four tight ends, and Andy's right. Going to take the league by storm that way, because he will adjust in that capacity. And honestly, that was the part that impressed me the most. That worked really well. That was incredibly effective.
Yeah, and that is like one of the underrated things throughout all of football, is being able to win in different ways. And the Chiefs have shown that over the decade, you know, with Andy Reid, of having different turns in the offense to play to your strengths, sort of minimize your weaknesses, but it's never been more evident than in what we're seeing now, because obviously, this is a Super Bowl caliber team, and a team that was planning to play one way this season. Now you get into this last game before the bye, the first game where you knew going in you wouldn't have Rashee Rice, and so then what's the plan? 27 carries for Kareem Hunt. I imagine telling yourself 2 months ago, just saying the phrase, even without the Chiefs, 27 carries for Kareem Hunt in prime time. I'd be like, wow, Alvin Kamara must have gotten hurt. Like, good for him, latching on with the Saints. I'm sorry, he what?
I would have actually more likely assumed that we actually invented a time machine and decided to watch old highlight tapes before I thought that Kareem Hunt was leading this team with 27 carries. I guess that's part of it. Alex and I earlier in the week said the same thing, where the excuse making around the league of like, well, we don't have this guy, or he's been a little dinged up, or, you know, the offseason got us. I'm like, what's your excuse? Because the Chiefs are without their number one and number two wide receiver, their number one running back. They lost their number two cornerback, and none of it has stopped them from having one of the league's best defenses and being 5-0.
I'm glad you mentioned the defense, because it is all of our inclinations, I think, to talk about the offense, because it's the thing that we can kind of understand a little better, and the thing where you know the injuries are impacting it in a certain way. But the defense to this point this season has been remarkable, and I've talked about this a little bit throughout the week. I think I mentioned this on Monday with Fesco and Dusty, but the fact that this defense right now appears to be firing on all cylinders isn't just amazing in light of them losing Legarius Sneed. And it is. The fact that Jalen Watson stepped in there and the defense still looks largely excellent, that's amazing, because Legarius Sneed's a great player, and he's a great player in Tennessee. Charvarius Ward is a great player in San Francisco. Those were not like smoke and mirrors things here. Those are legitimately excellent players in Kansas City. Now Jalen Watson seems to be on that track. Trent McDuffie's a top three corner in football, and I'm just saying top three because I don't want to argue 1, 2, 3, but yeah. I can argue all the way up that ladder. But the thing that's interesting now, guys, is that nobody who's getting significant snaps in this defense is in their first year in this defense. Jaden Hicks, we got excited about through training camp, and I think still rightfully so. I am in no way worried that he's not going to make the NFL transition. I just think it's going to be next year, probably without Justin Reed, when Hicks has an entire year of Spags meetings in his back pocket, when he knows why and what this defense does what it does. Right now, there's no typical Spags growing pains. Not that that was even a bad thing, but it's just a true thing, right? Week 1, 2, 3, 4, that defense in years past under Spags has been simpler. It hasn't had as many moving parts. It hasn't been as deceptive as what you see down the stretch, because that's when everybody's finally comfortable. I remember Justin Reed saying in his first year here, I think it was like week 12 or week 13, he Jeez. Later admitted in next year's camp, where he's like, yeah, I think it was like week 12 or week 13, I felt like I really kind of had a mastery of the defense loading. This entire unit has a mastery of the defense now. That's also overcoming no Charles Aminihu and relatively underwhelming starts for Mike Dana and George Karlaftis. They are exceeding expectations in so many of those ways, and I think it's large part because they kept the band together. It's really remarkable.
I'm glad you brought up Charles Aminihu. That's exactly where I was headed, because at one point in time, Josh, it felt like maybe the Raiders game at the end of this month would be a target date for him, but they haven't opened up the practice window yet. So do you think that that's just a sign of, hey, right now we know we're going to be playing 20 plus weeks of a season. We're going to be even more cautious with this? Or do you think there's maybe more to the story there with Charles Aminihu coming back from the ACL?
I believe our friend Nate Taylor has just begun to put the burner on simmer. Not quite bubbling yet. We're not boiling, but it does seem like they're still relatively on track that way. Right now with the bye, and they didn't worry about this with Clyde, which is interesting, but with the bye, it might make sense to not even open that window until you're back on the practice field getting ready for the Niners. Still, I think he'll need that full 21 days, and you don't want to pop that too early. So I would not be worried about it. It frankly, like, until maybe December, if he's not on the field, because the defense is thriving to this point, you really want to have a guy like that as healthy as possible for playoff games. And the Chiefs have the luxury right now of saying, yeah, we're getting by without you. Make sure that you're at maximum capacity later in the year. I think that's a reasonable, responsible thing to do here.
Let's not toss around a name for a wide receiver necessarily, but we know that in the next 3 weeks are essentially, the way I view it, the evaluation period of what does your receiver unit look like, especially against some, let's call them tougher opponents, maybe like San Francisco coming up next week too. What is the style of wide receiver you think they're missing? So before we toss out a name, what is the type of wide receiver they're going to need?
It's such a funny question and a good question, because my answer and Andy Reid's answer are probably different. And that's just because of how Andy Reid stylistically like has his type. I've been joking that like
they're like 5'7" and run a 4.4.
It's not like 6'5" blue eyes finance. It's like it's 5'9" 4.5" real fast. Like, it's anything under that. T. Higgins never made sense for Andy Reid, despite us like, oh man, we're on that 32nd pick. I kind of. What I think that they need fundamentally is someone who can beat man coverage. So you've got Kelsey and Juju, who are still like zone killing merchants, and Worthy can certainly beat man coverage, but we're trying to figure out exactly how much Patrick Mahomes wants to trust him, or where that relationship is right now. I have always wanted this offense to get a more traditional big body X receiver type. This isn't my trade fantasy here either. But every time we talk about DeAndre Hopkins, it's like, man, wouldn't it be cool to let Patrick Mahomes have a receiver like DeAndre Hopkins? And then Andy Reid and Matt Nagy and Patrick Mahomes are like, no, just get me somebody really fast who can run open into space. So we can get into the names there if you'd like, but I have wanted to see them try to take a receiver like that. It's why Justin Ross has stuck around as a concept, because they just don't have anybody else quite like him. But I think that's partially purposeful. Either it's just a value thing that the Chiefs have identified, or really it is stylistically what Reed likes to scheme up and what Mahomes likes to throw to. Andy Reid loves to get guys open releases into space downfield. Mahomes loves to hit guys opening up into a window, or just finding that little gap that real speed can open. So I think they're going to continue to try to double down on that stylistically, despite the fact that I think this offense could use a unique type of receiver.
One thing we noted is, even before the Rashee Rice injury, 43% of the time they were already using multiple tight end sets. That increased with the Rice injury. That opening drive of the game against New Orleans, I thought, was one of their best drives of the entire season. It was balanced. Yeah, they used Kareem Hunt, but also what? Travis Kelce had a catch or two. Noah Gray, I think, had a catch or two. Jody Fortson was involved. Is that just what we're going to see here for a while?
Jody Fortson caught a pass before a wide receiver did in that game. I have loved Jody Fortson since Valdosta State, and I didn't think that was going to be the direction that we headed. I don't think it's going to be exactly that. I do kind of think that the Saints game was a survive in advance, and then we'll do some self-scouting in the bye. I think we should see more of that. Noah Gray is, like, almost literally always a 52% player. He's played 52% of the offensive snaps each of the last two seasons on average, like, individually, not just total. That is exactly how often they use him. We saw a little uptick against the Saints, and I think that he's an interesting sort of chain mover. I'm always happy to see Noah Gray get the football on third down. I'm never nervous when the ball's in midair and it's heading to 83. So I'm good with that. I'm good with bringing out bigger bodies, and Fortson included, who had a relatively small role, but he had more snaps than Mecole Hardman and Sky Moore did. And I think that's a good thing. Have your 14 personnel with four guys who can go catch the football. I'm intrigued to see the logical conclusion of that, and I do think it presents a little bit of a matchup problem for opposing defenses. Not quite in the, like, Kyle Juszczyk 49ers sense, which obviously they'll see next week, but it does change some of the math of what you can do as an offense. And if you're a defense preparing for the Chiefs, now you've got to be ready for the fact that they may put four tight ends out there with Kareem Hunt in the backfield and just try to treat the game that way, knowing that, again, all those tight ends and Hunt can all catch the football.
I might be misreading this, Briscoe, so this will be my last question for you. As someone who at least has worn enough eyeliner in their life to maybe deal in the macabre, would you take your kids to the World's of Fun Halloween Hunt if they're 6 and 8?
I have been thinking about potentially going to the World's of Fun Halloween Hunt for the first time myself.
Wow, okay.
I'm not a scary movie guy. I don't really love the spooks and scares. Renee always wants to throw a Halloween party. We dress up, and I like the Halloween season. I don't really want to be scarred that way. I'll tell you what, I wouldn't take your kids. If you're like, hey, Josh, can you babysit? What would you do? I would not be like, we're going to go scare these children. I would not want that on my hands.
But they're my kids, right? So, like, in the end, it's only me that's responsible.
Right, yeah, but then the trauma is yours, both at the inception and to deal with. I don't know. I mean, you know them better than I do, but I don't know. Is the Tapp family just built different?
We're not, like, I don't know. Like, my parents didn't really stop us. So, like, I saw Stephen King's It when I was, like, 7. So, like, they didn't really block that stuff from us as kids, and I'm mostly well-adjusted. Mostly.
I think, Cody, if you want your kids to turn out like you, you go ahead and take them.
Next week, when we have Briscoe on, he promises to give us the lowdown on why Dennis Quaid was at the Chiefs game as well. He's working on that. That's what we have him on the show. Thanks, Briscoe.
Appreciate you guys. Don't take your kids. Or do, and then send the video.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, It can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.